Amen. You pray for me. Let me make sure. Psalms 100. I only got 18 points. I can probably preach it in 18 minutes. Riley, I'm gonna read the whole chapter. I was going to read verse 4, but I want to read the whole chapter. Psalms 100, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That right there knocks out that crowd that says you ain't supposed to come into church and sing and turn on the music and have a good time. Amen. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. God, we love you. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, God, that we can come together and smile a little bit, Lord. And God, I pray right now, Lord, as we gear up for this weekend, God, that you would just touch us right now, God, through your word. And God, I know, God, over the next few days, your word's going to go out through the play, God, and it's going to touch hearts, God. But Lord, help us not to overlook this service tonight, God, looking for that, God. Have your way right now, God. Encourage us right now through your word, and we'll praise you for all you do, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach just a little while on the thought of why I am thankful to God. Now, I could stop right here, take the microphone, and pass it around, and everybody in here could tell us why you're thankful for God. Amen. Amen. But I could say, I'm serious, I got 18 points. I could have come up with a whole lot more than that. Amen. If you're going to talk about being thankful to the Lord, amen. Amen. Number one, I'm thankful that even though I ignored and I mocked God for 21 years, he still loved me and sought me. Think about that. Now, how long did you mock God? How long did you run from God? But the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let me tell you something. He didn't send his son to die on that cross so you and I to reject him. He sent his son to die on that cross. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. That means the whole time I was running, glory to God, he was seeking, amen. Amen. The Bible tells us, understand that. You gotta think about it. And I try not to do this. I try not to think about being where God brought me from. I try not to think about West them old days like that. But I'm telling you right now, every once in a while, it'd be good for us just to think back on how much God saved you from, amen. Even though you ignored him, even though you ran from him, even though you, now let me, probably nobody in here got saved the first time the Holy Ghost dealt with you. How many times did you reject God's son? I remember preaching that message years ago, Skip, if I was God and I gave my son to die on a cross for you and he went through all he went through, you'd have one shot at it and then you'd go to hell. You said, that's tough, preacher. I'm just, Kevin, what if it was your son? Brother Donald, what if it was your son? Brother Robert, what if it was your son? If I treated my son as bad as I treated Jesus when I was lost, I'd have killed me. Amen. So I thank God that God didn't give up on us. Amen. I'm thankful that even though I broke all the commandments, that God and I was God's enemy. Now listen to this. Jesus Christ took my sin upon himself. The Bible says, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Now listen, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You were an enemy of God. And he still loved you. When the Bible went, listen, if we're not careful, we look at the Bible sometimes and we think, that's just tough. Bible says, love your enemies. How can we do that? God did it. He loved you when you weren't worth loving. He loved you when you were an enemy to him. What is an enemy? Somebody that is totally against. That was us. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. I'm just being honest with you. Some of us back in the day, you wouldn't have caught us in church. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be honest with you. I had enough respect of God when I was lost and doing things Brother Ed I had no business doing. I didn't go to church. It ain't like people in church today, you know. They live like they want to on Friday and Saturday night, show up at church on Sunday morning and think everything's all right. Let me go ahead and tell you something. There's still a right way and there's still a wrong way. You can sit on the church pew and still be an enemy of God. I'm thankful for that, amen. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit continued to call me and convict me and bother me until I surrendered to that call of being saved. How many times did God convict you? How many times did the Holy Ghost show up at your house, Johnny? How many times, Ben, did the Holy Ghost speak to you? Wes, how many times? How many times? Let me change gears just a little bit. How many times did God speak to you? How many times did the Holy Spirit deal with you when you got out of church after being saved? Huh? Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. Let me tell you something. Most everybody in here, I wish I could stand up here and tell you that when I got saved, I've done everything right. I never missed a church service. I've never fell out of church, but I can't say that. I got out of church, did things I ain't had no business doing after I got saved. And aren't you glad that the Holy Ghost still dealt with you? Aren't you glad that the Holy Ghost said, I love you enough that I'm going to keep right on? And you go to church and he get all over you. You lay down in the bed and he get all over you. You driving down the highway and he get all over you. Thank God that the Holy Ghost is there for us. Amen. I'm glad he's still on me, glory to God. I'm just telling y'all, sometimes, you know, did the devil ever fight y'all? Where was I at the other day? I was somewhere, I can't remember. It was in a store, and I was looking for something. And, I went to Home Depot, and I was trying to buy some bolts. And I needed some little short bolts, and I had a little box of them. Had five in the box. And I was trying to find some other bolts. And I had on a thing about like Brother Johnny's got on right there. I took that box, and I just slid it in my pocket while I got these other big bolts that I needed. I got to Walmart, and I realized I had them bolts in my pocket. Any of y'all ever been there? The devil said, don't worry about it. It ain't much. I said, you an idiot. Right in Walmart, out loud. I don't know what aisle I was on, but that thought came into my mind. It ain't much. You an idiot. You know good and well. I said, devil, you know good and well when I leave here, I'm going back to Home Depot. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm glad he still deals with me. Amen. I'm thankful that salvation was a free gift. Somebody ought to shout right there, amen, because you ain't had enough money to pay for what Jesus did for you, amen. The Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I thank God that I didn't have to pay for why. I'm telling you right now, if I'd have had to pay for it, I'd still be working, and I'd never be able to work my way to heaven. You never be able to work your way to heaven. You understand? So what would your son be worth? And just think about it. Wes, what would your son be worth? $5 million? $5 million wouldn't be able to buy my son. Not him. And my son's just a human. He's full of sin like everybody else. What about the Son of God that never committed no sin? How much is he worth? Aren't you glad that you didn't have to pay for it? Amen. Tell you something, folks, there's some things to be thankful for, amen. I'm thankful that when I came to Jesus, he took my sin away. Amen. He lifted the burden of that sin. How many of y'all remember how it was laying in bed at night thinking. I'm just telling you, I was raised in church. Now listen, I was raised in church. And I knew what I was doing. Brother Barry, I knew what I was doing was wrong. I knew that. There wasn't a doubt in my mind. I knew that drinking was wrong. I knew that cussing was wrong. I knew that the lifestyle I was living was totally against the Word of God. I would lay down at night, y'all, and lay my head on the bed, and I would think to myself, boy, I hope I don't die tonight. I tell you something even funnier. It ain't funny. It wasn't funny then. It's funny now. I used to go in them clubs down at the beach. Wes, I remember walking in one of the clubs one night and thinking, boy, I hope God don't come back and find me in this place. Went right on up there doing stupid stuff I ain't had no business doing. Amen. But I'm glad that when I got on the left side of the altar at White Savannah Free Will Baptist Church and I went down to that altar and I meant business with God. Hey, I'm telling you right now, that night I laid my head on that pillow. I didn't have to worry about dying. I didn't have to worry about where I was going. I knew without a shadow of a doubt if something happened to me, I was going to heaven. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus can remove that burden. I'm thankful that he removed that burden. Amen. I'm thankful that when I came to him, he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I don't got to worry about going to hell. I've told y'all this many, many times. I'm telling you right now, I've told you this many, many times. When I got saved, I just didn't want to go to hell. That was the only reason I got saved. There was no other reason that I got saved. And if you'll be honest with you, there was no other reason that you got saved. You just did not want to go to hell. Amen. Amen. When I got down on that altar, Brother Robert, I wasn't thinking about heaven. I wasn't thinking about a mansion. I wasn't thinking about no streets of gold. I wasn't thinking about none of that. I wasn't thinking about preaching. I wasn't thinking about nothing. I did not want to go to hell. Amen. But look what else he gave us. But I'm glad that when I got my name written in the Lamb's Book, let me tell you something, folks. That's something that I never think about no more. I crossed that bridge a long time ago, Wes. The devil can never throw it. The devil throws it at me. He'll tell me I ain't worthy. He'll tell me you've done wrong. And he'll tell me how in the world can Jesus love you after some of the stupid mess you do. But the devil cannot throw it at me and say, hey, you going to go to hell? No, I ain't. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's something that I know, that I know, that I know. I am not going to hell tonight, amen. If you ain't got nothing else to be thankful for, that's something to be thankful for right there, amen. Whew. I'm glad that when I got saved, not only am I not going to hell, he gave me a home in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't know what the address is in heaven. I don't know what street it's going to be on. But I'm telling you right now, I believe according to this here word of God, I have a mansion in heaven. Amen. I don't like that song. Just give me a little cabin in the backside. No. My God, Jesus didn't die on a cross for me and you to live in a cabin when we get there, glory to God. He died on a cross so you and I can go to heaven and enjoy the splendors of heaven, glory to God. I'm telling you right now, understand something. I'm glad that when I got saved, he built me a mansion. Side note, I'm glad I still got a King James Bible that says mansion, amen. Amen. All these other virgins talking about room. Let me tell you something. If my God's big enough that he can save me and create all this that you see from nothing, glory to God, he's big enough that he can make mansions in heaven for everybody. Amen. Let me move on. I got a long way to go. I'm thankful when I got saved that God ain't just giving me life here. He's giving me abundant life. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Let me ask you a question. Mike sings a song about being blessed. How many of y'all can really say that you're more blessed right now than you ever deserved? Amen. Think about that. More blessed than we ever deserved. I mean, listen, let's just be honest. If saving us from hell, that would have been enough right there. That'd have been enough right there. But I'm telling you right now, when you look around tonight and you look at the church family we got and the friends and the family we got and we're here for each other, amen, most of us didn't have to walk. Now, I didn't see nobody come up to driving a horse and buggy to church tonight, glory to God. Most of us have got enough food at home to last us for weeks. I'm telling you right now, we'll go home tonight, the air conditioner's running, the heater's running, the lights are on. We are more blessed right now than you've ever been in your entire life. And it's all because of Jesus. Amen. All because of Jesus. I'm thankful for the Lord's mercies every day. Lamentations chapter 3 says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because he has his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Missionary statement, Hudson Taylor come to completely trust in God's faithfulness. In his journal, he wrote this, our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustains 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect that he'll send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Whatever you need, he's got it. Amen. Whatever you need, he's got it. How many is thankful for the privilege of prayer? Amen. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You know, I thought about that verse, Jackie, over the years. A lot of times, if we ain't careful, we come to church, and I think we ought to do, everything ought to be reverent. I believe we ought to reverence God, amen? I think that's just respect. We ought to reverence God. Even when you pray at home, you ought to reverence God, amen? It's a respect thing. But the Bible says that you and I can come boldly to the throne of grace. That means, let me tell you something, if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you ain't got to back up to the throne. God expects you to come. When he saved you, he expected you to come. And understand something. We have access to the throne room in heaven. I'll never go to the Oval Office. I'll never probably ever shake hands with a president. I'll never speak one-on-one with a president. But glory to God, I can speak one-on-one with the master and maker of the universe. I'm telling you right now, that's a little bit higher than Donald Trump, glory to God. You understand something? You have access through prayer to the throne room of heaven. Use it. Use it. We've heard over the last few weeks, we've heard many, many testimonies in this church about how God answered prayer, God answered prayer, God answered prayer. Well, just today, they took Haley Johnson, Preacher Kevin's daughter, over to the hospital running EKGs and all these tests on her, couldn't find nothing wrong. She's home tonight, praise the Lord. How many times God answered your prayers? How many times God showed up for you? I'm thankful for that privilege of prayer. Listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says this, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Keep that in mind, okay? Let me read you this illustration. Among those in the court of Alexander the Great was a philosopher with outstanding ability but little money. He asked Alexander the Great for financial help, and he was told to draw whatever he needed from the imperial treasury. But when the man requested an amount equal to $50,000, he was refused. The treasurer needed to verify that such a large sum was authorized. When he asked Alexander the Great, the ruler replied, pay the money at once. The philosopher has done me a singular honor. By the largeness of his request, he shows that he has understood both my wealth and my generosity. What are you holding back from asking God for? My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. There's an old song that talks about that. It says, and Brother Robert knows what I'm talking about. It starts off, it says, my father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I believe I own at least one. Any of y'all ever heard that? Raise your hand if you ever heard that. Rest of y'all need to get on YouTube. Something's wrong with y'all people. Glory to God. That's a great song. I remember one time we sang that, and I had it on the radio, on the tape in my car. And Blake was little, and this is, he was probably 5, 6 years old, and Blake was singing. Wes, you gonna like, Blake was singing in the back. I was listening to him. This is how he sang that song. My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I believe I own each one. Hey, if I need it, if I need it, when you think about this now, God bankrupted heaven for you. God took the most precious thing there was in heaven and gave it just for you. So why in the world won't we come boldly to the throne of grace? You got a need? I got a God that can answer that need. If you live and write and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, don't you be afraid to ask God for anything. That he understands what you need. If you need a car, ask for a car. Don't ask for a Cadillac. If God wants you to have a Cadillac, he'll give it to you. But if he wants you to have a Honda, he'll give you that. But a car is a car. Getting from point A to point B is the main purpose of it, amen? So just bring it to God. He's got it all anyhow, folks. I told you this before. Y'all have heard me say this before. The richest man on earth cannot even feed the birds. I'm talking about the birds, not including all the other animals. The richest man on earth cannot even feed the birds of the world for one day. And God does it every day, all day. That's my God. I'm thankful that I can live with peace of mind. Amen. And a heart. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Let me read that again. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If Jesus has given us that peace, why are we staying up at night worrying about stuff? The Bible says that the God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. So why don't you let him stay up and worry about it? And you just go on to sleep. I've often wondered how Jesus could sleep in that boat with water coming in and them disciples, you know, they must have been up on that upper deck hollering and carrying on and having a fit. They were probably Free Will Baptists. I've often wondered how Jesus could sleep. And when Jesus got up, he walks up to the top and says, peace, be still. Now listen, everywhere Jesus went was peace. Jets faster than Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went was peace. When Jesus said, peace, be still, you know what that implies to me? That peace was everywhere, but they couldn't see it. Peace was everywhere, but they couldn't feel it because they were fighting against everything. And when you're fighting against everything, you ain't going to have no peace. But my Lord, if you just, you know what they should have done? They should have, somebody, John, should have said, listen, Jesus is asleep. Why don't we go down there and join him? I'm working on a message right now. I ain't sure exactly how I'm gonna entitle it, but you know, about missing your opportunity. Them disciples missed their opportunity, Wes, when Peter got out the boat. I'd have followed him. I'd probably been that idiot, stayed on the boat. But they missed an opportunity. Jesus was there. There goes Peter. Why in the world can't we go? So if there's trouble and heartache all around, and all Jesus has got to say is peace, be still, listen to him. Listen to him, amen. I'm thankful with Jesus that I'm never alone. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Be content with such things as ye have, for he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isaiah chapter 41. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. If you ever get to feeling like you all by yourself, you ain't. You know, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst. You say, well, man, if me and Skip gather together, oh, we got it. No, if it's me and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, he's already there. He's already there. Amen. I'm thankful for every good thing that I have in my life. Now listen, because I know it comes from God. I don't know why, but the last few days I've been really thinking about this as far as my wife and our relationship together and what God's given me. If God's give you a good wife, if God's give you a good husband, you ought to be thankful. The Bible tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variables, neither shadow of turning. I'm thankful for my Bible. Amen. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm thankful for the house of God. Where truth is proclaimed and God's people gather and God's goodness is talked about. I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, don't you just love them services, Kevin, where people just pop up and testify? I said, I sure do. I said, you know, a lot of times I wish we had more of that. But I know sometimes we come in and people are tired. But you know what? When you're tired, he's still there with you. Amen. When you come in and you're tired, he's still good. Amen. When you come in and everything, you've had a bad day, he's still God. Amen. And it's good to be able to come into his house and be able to come in and put a smile on your face. But let me tell you something, folks. I have never been to church that when I left, I didn't feel better. Amen. Amen. That's just the truth. And I kind of feel like, you know, Brother Donald, I used to go to church, preach a buddy, see, and it seemed like he'd beat you up one side down the other with the Bible. Brother Donald told me one time, said, if I didn't know you loved me, I'd find me another church. I said, why? He said, because you preach hard. So when you come into God's house, Dale, it ain't necessarily that the Word of God makes you feel better all the time. It does, but, I mean, you know what I'm saying. A lot of times it ain't nothing but, hey, Skip, how you doing, man? Yeah. Good to see you. Hey, Ben, how you doing, man? It's good to see you, boy. Good. I love y'all. That makes you feel better. Come in and Robert get up and make a little joke and everybody puts a smile on your face. And that's what this is for. That's what this is for. We ought to be able to come to God's house and come in and sit down and be refreshed because it's God's house. You know, like I say, I want to say this one more time. I thank God for our church. I thank God that I can come to church and I ain't got to worry about looking at somebody that's not dressed appropriate. Amen. I ain't got to worry about preaching or standing up here in this pulpit and looking out and seeing somebody that's going to take my mind off the sermon. I'm thankful for God's house. I'm thankful for God's people. I'm thankful for you because this is my family. Amen. Amen. If we'll be honest, most of us are closer to our church family. I see you a whole lot more than I see my family. Amen. And I love you.